Hello, and welcome to Sekahan Global Reactions. Today, starting from Kioxia's crash, we look at how to read the AI bubble. First, the Tokyo stock market on July 17, 2026. Shares of Kioxia, a major maker of memory chips, fell all the way to limit down. Kioxia is one of the world's largest makers of flash memory, the chips that store data in phones and drives. Just 1 month earlier, this company had overtaken Toyota. By market value, it had briefly become Japan's most valuable listed firm. Then it fell to half of its peak. About 31 trillion yen in market value, roughly $210 billion, had reportedly evaporated. And yet the business itself had not broken. Operating profit was still guided at about 30 times the year earlier level. What this video asks is why a company with 30-fold profit could lose half its value. There are three questions worth asking. First, why does profit up 30-fold end in a stock cut in half? Second, why do the triggers for the selling all sit outside the earnings? Third, is this the start of an AI bubble bursting? Let's start with what happened, and take them one at a time. First, the limit down itself, on July 17th. Kioxia shares could not even find an opening price. There were only sell orders and no buyers to match them. The stock closed down 16.1% at 52,110 yen, roughly $350. Its all-time high, set on June 22nd, had been 112,700 yen. In under a month, the stock had fallen to less than half of that. Its market value slipped below 30 trillion yen. Overtaken by Tokyo Electron, the company dropped to fifth place in Japan. The Nikkei average fell 2,694 yen that day. That was its fifth largest point drop on record, it is reported. So why did it fall? There were three triggers. As the heading says, all three sit outside the earnings. First, a patent defeat in the United States. A federal jury in Texas found that Kioxia had infringed a patent. It ordered damages of about $229 million, roughly 37 billion yen. Kioxia called the claims and the verdict wholly unacceptable. It said it would pursue legal options, including an appeal. Second, wariness over a new Chinese AI model. The startup Moonshot AI had unveiled a new model called Kimi K3. Third, weakness in U.S. semiconductor stocks the previous session. Now, here is the important thing about these three. None of them cut this quarter's profit by a single yen. The stock moved not on the business, but on things outside the business. Here, let's trace where this company came from. As the heading says, from an IPO below its offer price to passing Toyota. Kioxia is what remains of Toshiba's memory chip business. Toshiba pushed toward insolvency, spun the unit off. It was then sold to a consortium led by an American private equity firm. At the time, it was described as a symbol of Toshiba's breakup. The listing came in December 2024. The stock opened below its offer price, a rare stumble for a Japanese IPO. The tide turned in 2025. AI data center demand improved the memory market. By June 2026, the stock reached about 77 times its IPO price. By market value, it overtook Toyota to become Japan's most valuable firm. Its main plants sit in Yokkaichi and Kitakami in Japan. Then, in July 2026, the limit down took it back to half. From breakup symbol to number one in 18 months, and this swing in one. Why did Kioxia become an AI stock? Let's explain that here. As the heading says, NAND is AI's warehouse. Memory chips split broadly into two kinds. The work desk, where data sits while it is processed, is DRAM. The warehouse where data is stored for the long term is NAND. Early in the AI boom, the star was the work desk side. That was HBM, high bandwidth memory, wired straight to the GPUs. NAND, meanwhile, was seen as an everyday commodity. What changed was AI moving to the inference stage. Inference is the stage where AI is actually run as a service for users. Storing conversation histories and generated data suddenly surged in demand. Data centers began buying large capacity SSDs in bulk. And the chips inside those drives are NAND. The result was an operating margin of 74%. Operating profit was up about 30-fold, and production was reportedly sold out. Here, let's note a habit of the memory industry. As the heading says, there is a term for it, the Silicon Cycle. It is a boom and bust that repeats every few years. First, when prices rise, makers invest heavily in new capacity. 2 to 3 years later, the new fabs come online together. Supply then outpaces demand, and prices collapse. Makers cut output and sink into losses. In time, supply thins, demand returns, and prices spike again. This pattern is reliable enough to have earned its own name. The most recent trough was 2022 to 23. Back then, Kioxia too went through output cuts and losses. And right now, there are signs of the next phase. For 2 years, Samsung and SK Hynix had been holding NAND back. They had steered investment toward the higher-margin DRAM side. Because warehouse building had thinned, the shortage came on fast. But in July 2026, the picture shifted. SK Hynix announced a NAND investment plan of roughly $51 billion. Chinese makers are moving too. The NAND maker YMTC reportedly grew its revenue more than fourfold in a year. And CXMT opened a large IPO seeking about 600 billion yen, roughly $4 billion. Announcements pointing toward more supply have begun piling up, it is reported. How did people abroad see it? Let me sort the Reddit reaction. The voices here come from two small boards where memory shareholders gather. One for Micron holders and one for SK Hynix holders. Both are places leaning more toward pain and confusion than cool analysis. This is the reaction of English-speaking internet users, not any country's public opinion. 1. I'm new to markets, and I don't get any of this anymore. 2. When do these leveraged players actually finish getting out? It is the lament of hearing the same line for 2 weeks straight. 3. Some called it an attack by institutions on retail investors. Others replied that it was no attack, just buying the dip. The same fall split them between an attack and a buying chance. The thread was full of striking posts, too. As the heading says, there were sleepless nights and care for each other. 1. I'm new to markets and I have no idea what's happening anymore. 2. I slept 2 hours, woke up, and found this chaos. To that, someone replied, please, get your 8 hours of sleep. 3. Health, a roof, and food in the fridge. The rest you can win back. After all, you can't eat 2 steaks anyway. Even inside the panic, there was the feel of ordinary life and mutual care. Now we reach the heart of this video. Let's dig in from 4 angles. First, what the stock price had priced in was the death of the cycle. To start, the underlying demand is real. A 74% operating margin means it is selling all it makes at firm prices. Production for 2026 is reportedly sold out. And TSMC, the largest contract chipmaker, reported a record profit that same week. Contract prices are expected to post further double-digit gains into autumn. Judged on the business alone, this selling looks like an overreaction. What actually broke was the premise behind a valuation 77 times the IPO price. That premise was not simply good earnings. It was a story that A, I had changed demand for good, and the cycle would not return. Normally, the market discounts a memory maker's peak profits as a mountaintop number. This stock had almost removed that discount. So what moves the price is not earnings. It is evidence against the story. Arrivals, new capacity, China's fast catch-up, a cheaper way to run AI. None of it cuts this quarter's profit, yet all of it strikes the premise head-on. On the day of the patent verdict, about 5 trillion yen, roughly $34 billion, in value was lost. That was around 100 times the damages award itself. The driver of the selling was never really the single lawsuit. One caveat, though. It is not settled that the evidence against side wins. If demand climbs another step, the story still has room to recover. Second, the shaking is starting not at the center but at the edges. On July 13th, Seoul saw debt-fueled bets on two memory stocks unwind. 4 days later, Tokyo saw a memory specialist stock cut in half. Both are the edge, the part most sensitive to the industry cycle. At the center, the standing of NVIDIA and OpenAI has not yet shaken. Telling here was the plunge of June 26th. The trigger was news about OpenAI, a single unlisted company. Merely a report that it might delay its IPO moved the stock. News unrelated to any factory shifted market value by trillions of yen. The tighter the chain is wound, the more the edges swing on a small move at the center. The Japanese face of this structure is the margin buying balance. Across the Tokyo exchange, it topped 7 trillion yen for the first time. About 60% of the prior week's rise was concentrated in one stock. The tool differs, but the circuit where selling breeds selling is the same as Korea's. Third, China sped up the clock. Evidence against the death of the cycle arrived from both sides in the same week. On the demand side is Kimi K3. It is the new model unveiled by Moonshot AI. It claims performance near the US frontier, using far less computing power. Many read it as a repeat of last year's DeepSeek moment. If models can be built cheaply, the premise behind total AI spending shifts. On the supply side are CXMT's IPO and YMTC's rapid growth. Both Chinese makers are expanding capacity with state capital. But this news cannot be read in only one direction. Cheaper AI might widen who uses it and raise the data and compute after all. In fact, after DeepSeek, global AI investment kept expanding. Cheaper AI can read as demand ending or as its base about to widen. What the market chose this week was the darker read. Fourth, the infrastructure stays, the shareholders do not. The clearest proof was the fiber optic build-out of late 1990s. Believing internet traffic would explode, U.S. telecom firms invested vast sums. They laid more than 80 million miles of fiber optic cable. The direction of the forecast was correct. That cable later became the base for video streaming and the cloud. Yet by 2001, only about 5% of the fiber was in use. Telecom stocks collapsed, and several major names went bankrupt. Demand was real, and the infrastructure endured as a societal asset. Even so, the investors who arrived too early were not made whole. Kioxia's production lines in Yokkaichi are the same. On the day the stock halved, the lines were running just as before. So a few markers remain, useful even after the numbers age. 1. Strong earnings with a falling stock is a sign the story is being repriced. 2. A wave of capacity and capital raises is the sound of supply catching up. 3. How far an edge stock swings on central firms, news gauges how taut the chain is. Let's bring this together. As the heading says, the factories keep running, and the story gets repriced. This is not a story that AI was an illusion, nor that Japan's semiconductor recovery is over. A stock price carries two layers, one for the business, one for the story. Profit, up 30-fold, still halved because what came off was the story layer. And whether the cycle is truly over, that call is not yet settled. If demand climbs another step, the story recovers. If new capacity arrives first, the old cycle runs its course once more. Finally, the way of seeing this event leaves behind. As the heading says, the verdict is handed down from outside the earnings. Not the results, but capacity plans and financings. And product launches out of China hand down the verdict. This is not somebody else's concern, wherever you invest. Most index funds are weighted by market value. The more a stock rises, the larger its share becomes, automatically. So even a broad index fund is not free of this story's pricing. How much of a price is the factory, and how much is the story? A habit of watching that scene will help on the next morning the 30-fold profit halves. It should help part calm from panic. You'll find the fuller analysis and more reactions on our blog, Seikehen, linked in the description. Thanks for watching.